As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to a special episode of Brav Bros. I'm here with your favorite co-host, Shooter Magooter, and we have a special guest. Oh, I'm Steel. I always forget to do myself when we're
nobody doing cares. These.
But we have a special guest today with us, and that is West Wilson joining us. West, what's up, East?
What up, East? How are you guys?
What's up,
Carl
Beast?
Told me to say that.
Are you guys in the same building or different?
Different buildings. We actually live right across the street from each other. So his house is in the same neighborhood as where my apartment building is.
What part of Philly?
Just outside, like near Conshohocken.
Okay.
Lafayette Hill, Plymouth Meeting area.
Yeah. I also obviously am going to ask, what's your go-to cheesesteak?
Oh, I mean, Angelo's is the move, but it's so hard to get.
But then, I mean, our like grow-up spot where I went when I was growing up is D'Alessandro's, and that's still one of my favorites.
My roommates is D'Alessandro's. Have you ever been to Max's in North Philly? It's like above Temple. Dude, someone told me to go there on Twitter one time, and I pulled up, and I'll never go anywhere else.
Yeah, dude, that's the place from Creed when they go. Yeah, that's a good spot. Too. I mean, what's up?
Don't they give you like a full, if you want, don't they give you like a box of like shrimp to go to? And like, they just have all this like random food on top of it.
They didn't hook me up, but they do mayonnaise on theirs unless you say no mayo, which I do like a mayo. Philly people probably don't love that, but.
Well, the mayo gets lost in the cheese and stuff anyway. So I feel like, but that's the thing, like Philly cheesesteak wise, you can get a decent cheesesteak in most pizza shops. Like the best place is to stand out, but. Most cheesesteaks are solid around here. You get a bad one every once in a while, but yeah, I would say Angelo's is definitely the current best, but there's always new ones popping up. I had a good one in, the Reading Terminal Market the other day. I forget what that place is called. Campos?
Love.
Campos, they have at the ballpark. They have it down at Citizens Bank.
Oh, is this cheesesteak talk with the boys or what?
Yeah. Now we're just talking about that. We'll probably segue directly into sports and just never talk about Bravo. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, dude, you're a sports writer. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I worked for Bleacher Report for like from like 2019 to the end of 2022. Mm-hmm. Bleacher Report got acquired. I got laid off. But it was like sickest job ever. Like did the most random coolest shit with like good access, and then now work for Complex, which more pop culture based, but we have like a little sports sector. Small team of like three. But also, I mean, we get fun people in the studio all the time. So it's great.
That's awesome. And how did that kind of lead you into reality TV? Like, how did you make the transition from sports writer to Summer House?
Dude, so the also when will this come out?
Real quick. Tomorrow.
Okay. So
we can push it though if you need to.
No. I announce that I got laid off. In the episode, in this upcoming episode. So how it actually happened, Bleach Report layoff happened, got a call, and they were like, yo, we're like calling from a TV show, blah, blah, blah. And I had no reason to like not entertain it at the time because I was literally not employed, needed something to do. And I was like, all right, let's see what happens. And did the show. So a part of like, you'll see at this upcoming episode, I'm like, oh, I'm like looking for work, which is if anyone's been laid off, it's like a very humbling experience. It just kind of, you know, it messes with your self-confidence a little bit. It's embarrassing to tell everyone, you know, when you're at a bar.
Oh, sure.
Or whatever. So weirdly enough, I am employed now. So that's not a spoiler, but that the Complex job happened while we were in the house.
Okay.
So like there's a very wholesome
moment,
like on the
That's
web.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And it also like everyone, cast crew, everyone was like genuinely happy for me, just kind of because they had to like be a part of that whole job search journey, which everyone again is just like getting kicked in the nuts like day after day. And so that was one of my favorite parts of like the summer.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, getting laid off actually is what led to this.
There you go. That's a good
well, we're kind of glad you got fired then.
No, me too. It's great.
Yeah, it opens so many different doors. But I feel like, and I want to ask how you feel about this, because we get to see in the first couple episodes, you are like, you're opening up to the rest of the house and you're accepted, it seems like, almost immediately. And obviously, you know, you knew Lindsay and Carl beforehand, but you just seemed like you went in completely genuine, completely yourself, just wanted to have a good time, which we always value on this show, because the last couple seasons get a little boring. We just want people to have fun and enjoy themselves. That's what the show's all about. You came in with the right energy. How was that, you know, the first couple of weekends that you were there with everybody just accepting you immediately and just feeling like, this is our guy. This is who we want to be with.
I mean, it was great. Like, once you get to know everyone, you're like, oh, I don't know why I thought these people like wouldn't be nice. Like, everyone is are good people. Everyone's like obviously extroverted. So it's not that hard. But I mean, I've just kind of stuck to like, I mean, like you said, genuine. I tried to be as authentic as possible. And I think kind of it was just the right mix of not trying too hard to be anyone or anything or fit in, but also like, you know, get it, send a couple chirps. I made dinner, like just kind of, you know, earning your spot. But you can't do that by being, you know, like a walking in and being afraid of everything. So I kind of just, I, whatever happened, it just is the right little mixture. But
yeah,
there's the perfect fit. And like that, we've seen, you know, we are late to the game Bravo dudes. That's how this started for us, is I was in a relationship. My now wife was a big Bravo fan. And she was watching during quarantine, like from episode one of VPR, she was rewatching, and I got like sucked into it.
Dude, one of those boyfriends, man, who just, it happens by accident.
Awesome. It's like that. Yeah. And so like, I got into it really quick. I was like binging while she was asleep. I watched like seven, I knocked out seven seasons of Vanderpump in like a week and a half. Like it was,
my goodness.
Yeah. I got like locked in. So that's how I started. Shooter's first show that he liked was Summer House. So I was late to Summer House, but I've watched the last few years. And it's like, when you see new people come into the house, usually there's that weird period in the beginning. Some people come in way too comfortable too quick. Some people come in really awkward. This is the first time that we've seen two people, you and your boy Jesse, which we want to talk about a little bit. But you guys both came in and just kind of, you fell right into the mix, and it was awesome to see. And it was really good to see. And like, we talk about this on the podcast. We were so excited to have you on, cause it's like one of the dudes got on. It's just like one of the guys. And like, we fucking love that. Yeah, exactly. Like,
oh yeah.
It's just, it's refreshing to see, especially cause you didn't come in like guns blazing. You weren't being a douchebag to people. You were being polite to everybody, but funny. You're taking jabs. Like, I guess my question for you is, were you nervous about it, or were you just like, you know what? I'm going to go in and be myself.
Well, I've like done, I mean, obviously I've done Airbnbs with like groups of friends forever. And like, I'd been doing Montauk for three summers before this. So like, even just, you know, that driving route or like taking the train out there, like knowing those bars, like it was kind of what I was going to be doing that summer anyways. So like, why not kind of make the most
get paid to do it?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That was dope. But I do think having Jesse with me allowed like us to like be our own relationship, and then Carl and Kyle could kind of do what they needed to do, and it wasn't one of us like chasing them around like they were like our, you know, like our older brothers kind of thing. So we got to like do what we needed to do. Like I, like you see in the morning, we'd wake up and put on goggles and like jump up, like just dumb shit like that. Like it was cool to have someone. Yeah, like that. It was comforting almost. And it's also a new experience for him too.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, anything in life that we do, like, I don't know, JV football or like a reality show for the first time, whatever. Anytime you go through something new or something like kind of uncomfortable, the people you're going through it with, you're by nature just going to bond with them a little bit. That being said, Jesse is like also, he is a bro. So it worked out. He also came in a little hotter than me.
Way hotter.
Which I kind of subconsciously was like, if he's going to be this douchey, I can kind of like get away with murder at this point and just kind of like just chill like behind him, because he's already kind of lit some fires. So I used him like for my benefit for like the first two weekends. But then obviously we were like, we're boys like pretty quick. So
once you make that trip up from the city over to Hampton, yeah. I feel like it's, you got a lot of bonding material there, but I think you played it perfectly. I think, you know, he walked in the house, your immediate reaction was fuck. This dude's like 6'5". He's gorgeous. I'm already kind of vibing a little bit with Sierra. I'm having a great time with everybody else. He's going to swoop in. He doesn't have to do much except for smile, and I'm just kicked to the fucking curb. And yeah. I think you use that to your advantage, but that's how boys become boys at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to ride up to the Hamptons together, and then before you know it, you're pissing in the woods and just sword fighting, you know?
You know what's so crazy, dude, is I got a DM from this guy who was self-proclaimed overweight, and he was like, dude, I've never felt more seen in my life by you. When the like tall, handsome guy with abs walked in, and I was like, oh. What are we doing?
What a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. So that was funny. And just,
you're going through his pictures and you're like, ah, dude, yeah. That's not me.
Dude, it was tough. But that also on that note too, it's just like funny that a lot of the comments I'm getting are like, this proves that like looks don't matter. Like if you're cool and funny.
Oh no!
You kind of opened yourself up to it.
No, everyone means well. It's just funny that like my personality somehow like shit on my looks by like
self-deprecating.
Yeah.
I think that you're a handsome fella. I don't get
Thank
that.
You, Steve.
You're welcome, dude.
I appreciate that. More people need to know there's more to me than jokes.
You've got a great mustache, which I can always appreciate.
Yeah, we always appreciate it.
Dude, yours is better than mine.
It's just because it's dark. You have the blonde, so you kind of have to grow it out as much as you can. It's just.
Do you always keep, do you go thick here with like a 1-2 here?
Yeah, usually. Yeah. If I honestly, I do it like, I'm going to a bachelor party this weekend, the March Madness in Pittsburgh, and I'm probably going to shave all the way down, which I do for like special events. But. Ooh.
Gross. I don't know if I said that at all.
Shave don't it say down like for that. Special yeah, events. Yeah. It does sound like I'm doing a little manscaping. But no, I usually do shave it down a little bit. The thing is, it looks a little questionable, you know? Like,
no, it does. Yeah. You got to make sure like what you're wearing is like appropriate with the mustache.
So like a tight t-shirt tucked in the jeans, probably not a good call.
Yeah, or just like Mercury. Don't like drive around cars alone. Like just, you have to be conscious.
Stay out of school zones, you know, the usual type of thing.
He wears a lot of turtlenecks. He goes for that. Like the Ron Burgundy look.
Dude, I'm in on a turtleneck.
It's a good look.
Yeah. I do.
It's a good look.
I've gone into like a white turtleneck under like a big sweater.
Yeah.
It looks very like 80s, 90s. I think it's a sick look.
And it complements the mustache really well.
Yeah,
there is something about a turtleneck with a mustache that just weirdly makes sense. I don't know why. That's interesting. That's really. Always I wonder if you need to shave and wear a turtleneck without a stash and see if it has the same effect.
Nah, that's what I'm talking about there. That's when I have to start like being aware of where I am around people.
I have always thought though that like a like at least for me, I thought when I started rocking a mustache, it opened up a lot of doors. Like, but you can kind of get away with like more hipster shit, you know.
Yeah.
I think, no, that actually makes
sense. Not only that, like, I'm talking to a girl right now and she came up right away and she's like, I love the mustache. I'm like, there we go. I probably wouldn't have talked to
you. You know who compliments my mustache more than anyone is drunk dudes at bars. But not not dudes hitting on me, but just like a guy who's like, yo, bro, sick mustache. That happens way more than any girl has ever complimented.
Always. It's the best. Yeah. And honestly, it feels genuine coming from them.
No, it does.
It actually makes me feel pretty good about it.
Totally does.
Yeah.
This is what I wanted. This is all I really want to talk about. You guys' mustaches. Yeah. This is great combo. I do want to get to, speaking of people liking your mustache, we saw some sparks between you and Sierra, and look, she doesn't warm up to people very quickly in past seasons. So the first question that we all need to know, and I don't know if you can answer it or not, but I'm going to ask anyway. Are you guys still, you know, seeing where things are going, or is that a summer loving kind of deal?
No, we're trying to figure stuff out for sure.
Okay.
Nice. But like, we'll see. But I think watching it play out will be fun for everyone. Like, I think it's a good, wholesome progression.
It is. I mean, what I've seen so far, it's just cute as shit. Like when you guys are doing your shit, like even from day one, when you guys are cooking together, I was like, I haven't seen her vibe with anybody like this before. And the way you played it, because again, when we see dudes come on this show, We get much more of the Jesse vibe. And I will say, from out of the gate, when he said that statement about I only go after taken chicks because they must be good. That's why they're in relationships. Yeah. We both said,
definitely regretted that immediately.
What
what a dumbass. But we both talked about after seeing him on like the first episode he was on. I was like, I don't think that he's this douchey. I think that he came in too hot.
Dude, I think I've said this a couple times. He portrays douchier than like he actually is. Because the Paige thing, he like talked about it worse than he actually acted on it, if that makes sense. Yeah. So like I was never like, oh, this guy's hitting on her that hard. He just like said little shit where you were like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, like borderline, like,
So he's like actually a softy. He just, you know, he comes in with a little chip on his shoulder, I guess. But
why? He's like 6'9" and like a good looking kid. If I was that tall, I would never have a chip on my shoulder ever.
You know, you'd think that, but like not everyone can be teddy bear vibes, you know?
That's a good point.
Yeah. You know, they reserve that for you apparently, according to the commenters, but
wait, I do want to ask. So in the last episode, you said something to Sierra that really opened my eyes. And if you know what I mean, it literally opened my eyes. I now think that when I make out, my eyes are wide open.
Oh, dude,
do you still do it? Or are you like now correctively?
Okay. Here, this is what I think. You know how, if you are like, if you're doing a concussion test, you stand on one leg, and then you like, I don't know, 10 seconds. Then they go, close your eyes. You fall right over.
Yep.
I like with my eyes closed, I don't feel like I have my bearings and like I'm like as athletic as normal. So I think
you have to be athletic in the bedroom. You have to be athletic in the bedroom.
Dude, yeah. I keep my eyes open so I just like know what's going on and I can see what's happening.
No.
Your eyes usually closed.
No. Shooter did this the other day when we were talking about it on the episode. Hissing? Yeah. When we were making out.
We made out. Yeah.
He was staring at me.
We made out like, really quick. I had to show him.
We agreed we wouldn't look at each other. No, when we were talking about this episode on our podcast like last week, he was like, I think I do that. And I was like, that's fucking weird. Why do you do that? And he's like, I don't know. Like, what? It's for athleticism? That's both of your excuses.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I'm just hearing West out here.
But I mean, does my theory like hold any ground? The concussion test?
Yeah. I think it's more, I need to know where I am. Because like, you know, you stop, you start. It's pretty much what Sierra said last week. You stop, you start, you go in and out and do that. I can't keep my eyes closed the whole time. I'll end up kissing like a cheekbone.
Literally. I know that like you got to keep them closed and in movies eyes are closed. But I just have been.
That's where we all learn how to kiss.
Yeah,
spatial awareness, fellas. Like, what are we talking about?
That's actually a good word. Spatial awareness.
Yeah, you have to have spatial awareness. I have never kept my eyes open while kissing. I will say, one time, I was making out and I did open my eyes. Or I think we like
separated. And hers were open.
Yeah, and I hated it. I was like, "What the fuck? Why are you staring?"
No, it's scary for the other person if they open for a second and you're just like right here, both eyes. So
it's
that's why you gotta say it from the beginning so they keep their eyes closed, and then you're
say it. You did say it. You're good. I will say you're good at pointing out some things about yourself ahead of time so that nobody's surprised. It's a very admirable trait. I think that you both need to practice like in a mirror, not opening your eyes, like just make out with a mirror and like don't look at yourself.
Just because, wait, first off, that's the most like selfish thing ever. You're making out with yourself in a mirror. That's because we didn't grow up making out with our pillow and practicing doesn't mean that we're any less than you, Steele.
That feels like a Steele move.
Yeah, what? Steele's absolutely making out with pillows.
Look, guys. Look, Sharpie the relationship I had with my body pillow in my teens is none of your fucking business. True. That is not your business at all. That's a personal thing. Okay.
It's since been broken in half.
Yeah. you don't want to know where that pillow is now.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
But back to Sierra. And yeah. Then we'll move on from that. But as you said, we're going to see it kind of progress throughout this season. Now, mm-hmm. Did you go into this summer like, all right, I'm going to try to make something happen in the house? We do see that a lot where guys come in and they pretty much make it their goal. Like, who am I hooking up with? Or were you just coming into the house and like, you know what? I'm going to see what the vibe is. I'm just going to do me.
Well, I'm always like in for a hookup. Like, I think, hot chicks, you're sharing a house. Like, that's kind of what your drive socially comes from is like chicks being around. But certainly I did not go into it and plan on like cuddling up this quick. But I'm not like putting it on her, but the kitchen thing was like, I obviously read into it because I had nothing else to read into. It was the first hour of me being in this house. And we did honestly like, the gesture meant a lot, but we did talk for, you know, an hour and a half. So I like got to know her super well, like right out of the gate. And it just kind of like what felt natural from there, you know? Yeah. And I'm obviously not going to like you. It does move slow. It just like when you're in that house, it feels like things can like go fast, but it was fine.
Yeah. I feel like you guys are doing a good job at not moving too fast because we've seen that before. And like Steele and I, like we said, you see dudes come into the house, people try to hook up within the first, second, third episode, third weekend, whatever. And then all of a sudden they're moving fast. And then by the end of the summer, it just completely falls apart. So it ends up ruining the vibe of the entire house. But you guys are doing such a great job at keeping everybody else at bay. Everybody else is happy because they both support and love you and you're having a great time. And that's a really good balance. I do have to ask, how fucking hot was it in that restaurant in New York when you went on that first date?
Yeah, bro. Okay. Well, for starters,
give me a percentage between like nervous sweat and real sweat.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm a sweaty guy all the time. So it's not like I need a room to be freezing cold, I need a fan, whatever. So if it's not like a chilly temperature, I'm going to be damp.
Are you sweating right now?
Yeah, especially when I talk to you, I just like get going. But the second I dabbed the bar napkin on my head, I was like, oh, I'm going to look like a nervous fucking nightmare right now.
With your nipples out
too. Yeah. It was crazy. The second I did it, I was like, oh my God, I look horrified to be on the stage. But whatever, I honestly, the reaction to it, like some people thought it was cute that I was
there. Yeah,
it was.
It played really cute. Well.
Okay, that's good. But if us three, if one of us ever go on a date, I will be. There's a good chance I'll be dabbing my head off. So,
like three of us on a little three way date.
Yeah, whatever you guys want to, we'll go get a cheesesteak.
I'm down.
And a Yingling.
I guess I'll be little meat sweats.
I don't drink anymore. I didn't mind Yingling. It's never like it was never my go-to. It's fine, but I don't love it. It's a really bad hangover.
Is that just like a old tale? Like, do people not chug Yingling in Philly?
They don't chug it.
No,
honestly, like beer. I've I've tried to shotgun Yuengling before, like a Yuengling light or a can, like at a Birds game, like at a tailgate. It is awful. It's so tough. Okay. It's like eating an entire roll of bread in like 30 seconds. You're doing like a saltine challenge. It's really tough to do.
It's very yeasty. Yeah.
And yeah, what's a good Philly like? What's a good Philly beverage with your cheesesteak?
Right now, the best Philly beverage that ever stateside is the big one.
Yeah.
Which actually, my brother-in-law's like good friend started this company, and they're massive now. It's Stateside Vodka. They got Surfside. Those it's like a seltzer drink.
Okay,
they're starting to get more.
Sort of directly competes with Loverboy.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, yeah. No one drink it. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's kind of the counterpart. And also, we went to high school with like the worst human being I've ever met in my life, genuinely. And he drank exclusively Yuengling. He would bring his own case to every party. It was the douchiest.
He was probably drinking ever. In like seventh grade.
Yeah, and he would drink an entire 24 rack of this stuff. He would say the most outlandish, terrible things. And I hate him to this day. So
then he would smoke a backwoods cigar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was gross.
At like 17 years old. Yeah, just a bad day.
Yeah, his name was Pick, is what we called him.
He was shooting him out. Brutal. You can't drop like that.
Why not? I hate it. He deserves it. He's terrible. He still is, by the way. Flannery.
P-I-C or P-I-C-K?
P-I-C.
P-I-C. I don't like that.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't. You shouldn't, because he stinks. And my one friend still communicates with him, and he's just as bad now as he was in high school. So, yeah, I have no issue calling him out, and he doesn't listen. So
we're using our platform for evil.
Yeah. That's a good era. Yeah, it's fine. But getting back to a little bit of reality TV, what was it like and what's it like now? I mean, I'm sure you get recognized when you go out sometimes, things like that. What's it like being, especially because you have such a good reputation immediately? So like, what's it been like to be kind of the new kid on the block with some recognition?
It's like weird because I don't feel like, it's not like I won the Super Bowl or like did something, like I did sound like I earned anything. So that part's weird, almost like a little imposter syndrome, but at the same time, like I literally was just being myself. And if people like appreciate that, like I should be nothing but like accepting and like happy that this is a thing too. It's been cool. I have also though, like with the career path I've been on, I've been like in relatively like cool situations, I guess, so to speak, or like with, you know, rappers, athletes, whatever, all that kind of stuff. So it's felt like probably a gradual like build up more so than maybe if I was, you know, working at like a bank or in finance, you know.
You've been around that world a little bit.
Yeah, well, so in a way I feel like it was kind of, it's just another like step up, but no, it's cool. It's like, it's the biggest thing for me is learning how many people love Bravo. Like I had no clue that world is. I kind of learned when they found out Jesse and I were going to be on the show and like that came out, I was like, oh, people are like, people pay attention. They're in the weeds. But then now I just am like so surprised how many people, like how big this world is. So that's been, but it's been good for me thus far. So like, I'll probably hate how big it is at, you know, some point, but
there'll be times, I think, but that's what, when we started this, you know, we were first nervous about our reception because we're two straight dudes in a space that's predominantly female and gay, which is, you know, it was a little nerve wracking just to see how people were going to respond to us doing this podcast. And the reception was amazing. And they were like super accepting. We had a lot of content creators in this space, like really help us along early on, which was awesome. But we quickly found out, and like I'm sure you're finding out, it's a massive, massive cult following on that is like this Bravo verse, which is really cool in a lot of ways. So like, I can't imagine being on the show. And like, we both talked to Joe Bradley about this a little bit, like, cause he's newer to the Bravo universe, and just the attention and everything must be so weird. Like just to step out in the streets of New York and people be like, yo, Wes, what's up? Or,
yeah,
stuff like that.
It still is like, it's not, and it, like, I have been recognized a few times, but it's still early. Like, I'm not like getting mobbed when I walk into like a bar outside or whatever. So it's very
yeah,
it's chill. But yeah, it's just weird because like it's from memories I have. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not a challenge or whatever. It was just existing, and now people like care. I will say, like, my relationship with Sierra, I'm sure people care a lot more right now because they want to see like that storyline.
Right.
So it's like if I'm out at a bar, you know, like with my boys, I feel like people are kind of like overanalyzing like every step I take, you know.
Don't have a drink too close to another girl, or they're gonna assume that you're going home with her.
Yep. So that's like been interesting. But I was just in Cabo this past weekend, and like, I don't know, like there were like four bridesmaids parties, and like one of the chicks recognized me, and then the other bridesmaid party kind of knew. And that like it's all good right now, so it feels good. But we'll see. No, back to you talking about being like too niche, or like a niche podcast in the sense of like who you guys are. Have you guys found like a target audience, or is it just anyone, everyone? Like, are you looking for, I mean, you said at first like straight guys who are like watching Bravo shows, or is it more just, you know, your angle is unique, so whoever consumes Bravo like would find your take interesting?
Yeah, it definitely started off as us being like, you know, we're going to be the straight guy coordinates, or whatever you want to look at it, like just, you know, watching all the Bravo shows. And we kind of went with the route of, you know, we can convince your boyfriend, your husband, whoever that doesn't watch Bravo, that sits in the corner with his arms folded, yelling at the TV because somebody on, you know, Real Housewives of New Jersey is yelling too loud while he's watching basketball on his phone. Like, you know, get in there and watch it with your girlfriend. You can listen to the podcast. We kind of break it down from a sports, like we started off talking about contracts and off seasons, like trying to make it as sports oriented as possible, to the point where we even, it's very similar to the sports season as it is, but we used to start our episodes and we would go on a rant about, you know, like the Eagles losing to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Like we would start it off very sad, and then we would just break it down. And then, yeah, you're not allowed to laugh at that. But we would start it off like that. And then it kind of evolved. And yeah, I mean, we're always trying to convince boyfriends and husbands to get in on it and then listen to us. But the demographic is the demographic. I mean, a lot of people appreciate our point of view because of the way that maybe we break it down. We recap the episodes a little differently than existing podcasts do. So we did kind of find our niche, but I feel like it's more through how we, you know, take in the content and how we kind of regurgitate it back out in our own way. So yeah, so it's kind of cool the way that it's evolved.
No, I think it's dope. I'm like obviously starting to get asked about other Bravo shows now. So like from my very Bravo virgin lens, like I get why Summer House would be relatable. It's like younger ish people, like Share House, whatever. I'm curious, like how would you guys pitch? You can choose a random one, but like what's a housewife show that like you guys think is like gold TV, and what is the draw for like two straight Philly bros?
That's a really good question. So this recent year of housewife show has been very up and down. We had Salt Lake was an incredible season, and they were coming off a shitty season last year. So it was like this big redemption series with Monica Garcia, who was like a fan of the show, started a burner account like 5 years ago.
Whoa, spoilers. One of the,
it's been I actually, I've, con- I have caught wind of, I think I know what this is. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was proof receipts, that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were actually on Watch What Happens Live with Heather the last night of the reunion, which was really cool. Yeah, that was an awesome moment. But I would say if I was going to try to get one of my boys into a housewife show right now, I would go for Miami. And I would say that, you know, a lot of one, Larsa Pippen's in it, and she's dating Marcus Jordan. So that's a big pull right there, because you got more Pippen Jordan nonsense that we haven't seen in a very long time.
And then Michael and Scotty are not like in, they're never like on camera. That would be insane.
No, God, I wish. That would be incredible. But no, Marcus and Larsa are, and they are, oof. Larsa's tough to watch because she's evil. And then they had a podcast called Separation Anxiety, and you had to watch some of the scenes of them talking to each other. That was uncomfortable as well. Whoa. But I would say Miami, because one, it's a good show. Like, all the housewives show up to work every day and they put in the effort. Like, you're getting some of the shows aren't doing that right now. So you're going to get the effort. You got the sports crossover with Larsa and Marcus. Yeah. Then you get, you know, people buying yachts. You get these massive houses on the water. Like, it's captivating TV because you're like, oh shit, this is like the elite version of Miami, which is, who doesn't like going to South Beach, at least back in the day, and partying a little bit. You get to see the elite side of things. And, you know, Martina Navratilova, she's in it with her wife, Julia. So, like, that's another sports crossover right there. So that would be my sell for Miami.
You know what's really interesting that you said about, like, I'm a geography dude. Like, I love just maps and, like, the aesthetics of different cities or whatever. I love the Bourne movies because they're always, like, bouncing to, like, random city in Europe, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if I could hook myself with, like, the geo angle, because, like, I'm sure aesthetically each housewife city, like, represents the city well.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, they definitely do, because you do have, like, the Spanish influence in Miami. You get, you know, the rich, somewhat, you know, film adjacent people out in Beverly Hills, Salt Lake City. You have the Mormonism of it all, and they're wearing the huge jackets all the time.
Are some of the housewives Mormon?
That's so interesting, dude. It's the one. So there's a bunch of Mormon ones, and then there's one who is the leader of her own church, which is straight up a cult. And no, she's married to her grandfather-in-law.
Step-grandfather.
She's married to her step-grandfather to keep the continuity of the church line going. That's one of the housewives in Salt Lake. There's a lot of Mormonism. They talk about Mormonism, which Mormonism to me is like the most interesting religion in the world. Like, I could watch documentaries for hours on that shit. So
a lot of them are scary, but
terrifying. Yeah. Especially when you talk about like fundamentalist Mormons, like the old, the old school ones. So that's also, I would say, if you're going to dive into one, I would go with Salt Lake or Miami right now. Don't watch season 3 of Salt Lake. It stinks.
Okay.
But this most recent season, if you watch that, you'll probably be hooked on it, because it was just, I mean, it's great TV. Like, it was really good TV. So you can
You could also just take the route that we took. I mean, the route that I took was starting off with Summer House, because who doesn't enjoy that?
Yep.
And then, of course, I went from that to Southern Charm. Because those are, you know, like, you met Craig over the summer. So, you know, that's where he comes from. And then obviously there's a lot more going on there. And I feel like that kind of speaks to us more as straight guys. You know, you watch other straight guys like go through relationships, cheat on people, just get fucking destroyed by other people in the reunions. Like, things like that are kind of funny. And then you kind of build into the housewives as you go from there. So it's sort of like a stepping ladder.
Yep.
Were you guys Vanderpump guy? Oh, you Steel
Sam. Yeah, Steel was. Yeah.
So you need a leadoff show that's not a housewife show. You can't start with housewives because it's overwhelming. You don't understand like the Bravo setup, I guess. If you watch a Vanderpump or a Summer House or a Southern Charm, there's enough other stuff going on to get you sucked into it. And that's what happened. So I got done Vanderpump and I asked my wife, I was like, well, what's next? Like, I need more of this shit. So we went from that to Real Housewives of New York.
You became a junkie. Now it's our job.
Yeah, yeah, now we have to watch everything, for better or worse, because they're, and like our listeners will get excited when we hate something, and then like, because we'll stop watching shit like halfway through the season if it's not, if people aren't listening, watching, then we'll be like, all right, we're gonna move on to something else because we have too much to cover. We hate Orange County, and our listeners know that, and a lot of them like Orange County. So like halfway through the season, we're like, do we have to keep watching this? And we got a resounding, oh yeah, absolutely. So they were hate. We were hate watching.
Yeah.
And they were,
our fans,
they
are
were some of our highest listened episodes were Orange County, because,
and because you guys were just shitting on it the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. We couldn't stand what was going on.
We should have to, like, give real opinions. That's all that matters.
Yeah, we gave our real opinion, but they liked that we were miserable through it out. And but that's the other thing, like, we show up for what they want us to listen or watch. We will watch what they want us to watch and talk about it. So they wanted OC, we gave them OC. We hated it, but we gave it to them. But yeah, if you start off with if you haven't watched Southern Charm since you're on Summer House, maybe start with like Southern Charm or Vanderpump, like early on VPR is gold. It is nobody can watch season 1 and 2 of VPR and be like, this isn't good TV. It's just entertaining as shit, because the stuff that they're saying to each other, you're like, that's how I got sucked in. I was like on my phone and my wife was watching like episode 3 or something, and Jax and Stassi were going back and forth, and one of them said something to the other one. I was like, oh my God, like, you can't talk to people like that. Like, what the fuck? And I looked up, and then it was just game over after that.
Wow.
Yeah, it happens.
That's
quick.
Beautiful.
It's is poetic. Right, and then it my is. Wife and I get to share this together, and like it's a special thing, I think.
And at the same time, when we're watching sports, they can care about the sports, and it's a good balance back and forth.
Well, listen, what do you do in October when it's like mid-season NFL playoff baseball? Football. How do you
we watch baseball? Football.
Yeah, we go to the games. Like we go to Phillies games because we're always in the playoffs, and then we I don't want to talk about it,
dude. Phillies Astros was my favorite sporting event I've ever been to.
It was incredible.
Was it in Houston or in Philly?
I went to all. Did they win in six?
Yeah, Houston won in six. Yeah,
I think I went in Houston. I went to one through five.
Okay. Oh, you were in Philly. You did get to see the first game, the first home game in Philly, where we hit what, six home runs?
I was in Miles Teller's box for that.
I was five rows away from you.
Yep. Yeah, right behind you.
Oh, we could have met. It could have been, missed opportunity.
If you had a mustache, maybe steal.
That's it. If I had a mustache, you would have found me.
Uh huh.
I think I was wearing overalls.
Do you wear baby blue or do you wear red?
We got lucky. Well, the first thing I wear, like my go-to outfit, my dad actually played for the Phillies back in the 80s. And I have his pullover from batting practice that I still wear. It even has a cigarette burn in it because they used to smoke cigs in the clubhouse. It's pretty sick.
You cannot wear anything but that.
Until that Foco company, did you see all the overalls people were wearing?
Yeah.
So the owner of that company was a listener of our show, and she reached out and sent us a box of shit. So now I've got like three different pairs of Phillies overalls. So I usually wear those with no shirt. That's my go-to recently. Oh. Yeah.
But you can't do that in like July.
He does it in July and he does it in October when it's about 40 degrees.
I got really sick in October because I did it.
I just mean like a regular like Tuesday night baseball game. But I mean, that's more power to you.
We show up for our teams in Philly. That's what we
do. No, I know you do. I know you do.
81 times a year, baby.
But to bring it back to Bravo before we, because we're running out of time, I do want to ask you, and I know that you were friends with Lindsay and Carl coming into the house, or you were at least friends with Lindsay. We're watching the season play out, and I myself am 5 years sober from alcohol. So watching this is, I don't enjoy those scenes at all. I made a TikTok about it yesterday, actually. But from your perspective, coming into this house, watching this whole thing kind of transpire, and I'm sure there's some stuff you can't say as we're watching the season play out, but being in the house as this was going on, like what was the atmosphere like with those two specifically? Because we're seeing two very different vibes. Like when you guys are there and they're not a part of it, it's just, it's light, it's fun, it's easy. And then they seem to bring in this energy where everything kind of shifts. So what was that like this summer?
Honestly, for starters, I'm just as excited. Excited is not the right word, but like, I guess anxious to watch the season play out because a lot of their shit was when we were in different cars or still out and they were home. So I mostly like talked with Carl throughout the summer just because there were moments with like the guys. I wasn't really, in girl gossip groups with like Lindsay and everyone. So I heard Carl's side of the story, but I didn't see a lot of it in real time. So like what happens this season, like I'll see at the same time as you guys.
Okay.
But my take, I just think, not to say it couldn't work, but like I do think a sober person and then someone who drinks, objectively, if there's a fight or whatever, by nature, the drunker person probably says things they don't mean as much, things they don't remember, just kind of, it's a lot of a looser conversation. And if I'm ever sober in an argument, I internalize things more. I remember every single word you said. And then when you wake up, I would imagine the sober person still remembers everything perfectly. It still hurts just as much as it did last night. When as you're the person who is drunk fighting and you wake up hungover, you don't really care. You want to move on from it, whatever. And so I just think from a conflict resolution standpoint, I think that part I always wondered, or just how do you come to a middle ground when like one person is clearly going to internalize everything and the other person is going to be like so removed from what happened. But that being said, I mean, I disagree clearly with like what Lindsay said, obviously. Yeah, right. And it is also, and it, I think anyone who maybe knows someone who's sober, for me, it was knowing Carl and like watching him take steps to like, you know, obviously he's sober, so he's avoiding drinking. And he's very good at reflecting on it as well. And so I think to hear something he's proud of and like something that clearly would be so hard to accomplish be attacked is objectively sad.
Yeah.
And so hearing him say it, I obviously was like, that's kind of a shitty thing to have unfold, but watching it back was a lot darker than I thought it would be for sure.
Yeah, and that actually makes a lot more sense because as I watch these scenes and, you know, obviously we're seeing at the same time them behind closed doors and the things that she's accusing him of, you know, because that's not a little thing for anybody that's sober to get questioned in your sobriety. Like, are you using again? Are you drinking? Anything along those lines, like it hits you in your soul because like you dedicate your life to this to just be able to live normally, right? It's not an easy thing. So like for me, it drove me nuts. And then I was also getting kind of pissed because I'm like, why is no one else talking about it? Like, why has nobody else addressed this and said to Lindsay, like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Like, that's pretty off color for you to say anything in regards to a sobriety. It makes more sense because I didn't even register the fact that, yeah, obviously you guys aren't seeing this shit unfold because we're watching those two alone at home.
Right.
And you guys are getting the he said, she said of it. And it's two very different stories, right? Like we're getting... Yeah. Lindsay's talking about how he's being aggressive and attacking and blah, blah, blah. And then you watch the actual scene and you're like, nah, bro, it was the other way around.
Yeah.
So that actually makes me feel better because I was getting frustrated at the rest of the cast because I was confused. Yeah. I'm like, why is everyone just allowing this to continue? No one's stepping up or saying anything. That makes me feel better.
Jesse, though, I was proud of Jesse. I wasn't in that car, but I mean, Jesse was the first person to like really, you know, call it for what it was. And I think that was a good moment for him.
Massive for him.
Yeah.
That showed you who he really was. Cause like we both said, we're like, there's no way this dude, cause he seemed like too nice of a guy. Cause we see douchebags on these shows all the time. We can peg them pretty quick. And when he came in, I was like, I think he had a plan when he came into the house and like he went to his first confessional and was like, oh, I'm the guy that hooks up with the girls in relationships.
Yeah.
And
then, but I think the huge difference there was, I mean, first he had to follow up your fun fact of visiting all 50 states with what was going on with him, which that's a tough thing to follow up, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think that was our first indicator. Like, all right, you know, Jesse is different than what he is. He's different than what he's portraying himself. And that's why it opened up in my eyes looking forward to that. But we don't get to see a lot of the times that you guys are out because a lot of those bars in the Hamptons, they don't want the cameras in there. They don't want the audio stuff going through. So we don't really get to see how you guys are handling it. And I feel like at least in the last couple of seasons, when something's going on, whether it's Kyle and Amanda or Lindsay and Carl in the last 2 years, everybody in the house seems affected and it kind of brings everybody down. But for some reason this year, and I want to say that it's probably just like you and Jesse getting in there as well as, you know, maybe the rest of the crew is just kind of gotten to the point where, you know, Lindsay and Carl are going to do what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. What's the vibe of the crew while you guys are still out? Like, you know that they left. You obviously heard about it, you know, the weekend before, you know, they left again. You're like, are you wondering what's going on? Or are you just like, you know what? They're going to figure it out. They're going to do what they're going to do. Let's just keep moving forward.
Well, I think maybe it's because I was like new into all these relationships and the history is all like so short lived in my eyes that like, it's not, I don't even have that strong of opinions because it's all just like, it has existed for like a week or two. But this is another thing Jesse said too, where he was like, he asked Carl, you know, is this how Lindsay's always been? Carl goes, yeah. And Jesse's like, that's kind of what you signed up for. I'm not going to speak for everyone in the house, but I mean, there have been massive fights the 2 weekends they've been here. Like it would be exhausting, I think, if I wanted to let that bring me down every single weekend, you know? And so who's to say this isn't going to happen the next 6 weekends in a row? So I think I'm also not like confrontational person by nature kind of. So like we can all agree objectively what she said to Carl was wrong. Again, we didn't like see it in real time. So it was just kind of this like myth, but like for me, at least I think avoidance is like the only way to really stay sane and not let stuff like that just absolutely like shit on your parade every single weekend.
But yeah, I think that that's what you guys have done well, which is making this season much more enjoyable, is that, you know, because obviously Kyle and Amanda get into it, and we've seen them get into it in the past. They're better at moving forward than we're seeing with Lindsay and Carl, obviously, and they have more practice with it. But I will say, like, I feel like this is a better season because of the fact that, and Shooter alluded to it earlier, you're not getting dragged down by those two, Lindsay and Carl, going at their shit. Like, you guys are still going about your business, having a fun summer. We're just getting this weird juxtaposition where on one end, like, everyone's partying. We finally have a summer house where summer's fun again. And we've been wanting that for a couple of years now. And on the other side, it's like watching this tragic, tragic relationship play out in real time. And it's tough to watch. And it's like, it's great TV. I'll say that. Like, it was a great fucking season and we're enjoying it, definitely. But I appreciate the fact that you guys are able to do your thing while they're trying to figure out their shit on the side, because if you weren't, and that's what we saw last year, it's not nearly as fun.
Well, yeah. So I think because Jesse and I kind of, again, we're new, so we can kind of like just naturally steer clear of stuff like this. Because, and again, I give everyone credit for like people's drama in this house. They don't make, you don't have to be a part of it. Like, Jesse and I kind of, you know, had our own fun. And so I think from like a viewing experience, I've heard it's felt like this. But then even for people like Gabby, Danielle, Kyle, sometimes if Jesse and I are going to go have fun, stay out, do whatever, it did give people in the house an option to like stick with us, like stay out longer. You don't have to go home and be a part of this chaos, or come out to the pool where Jesse and I are like making TikToks, like just like dumb little shit like that. I think looking back at it, like, we might have given everyone that like
an outlet.
Yeah, just an outlet to like not be consumed by whatever the like dark shit was inside.
Well, so thank God for you guys, because you guys probably saved the season, honestly. We would have had the same thing we had last year.
I hope. I won't ever claim it, but like, if that's what we
we'll claim it. We'll claim it for you.
We'll claim it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got you. We got you. We'll wrap it up here, but I do have one more question. That's, or a couple more, but are you excited for next season? Like, are, assuming you get the call to come back next season, like, are you pumped to be a part of the summer house, hopefully for an extended period of time?
Yeah. Well, it's so like, I won't know, like, it's hard to know how this all shakes out. So like, I might be back, might not. Hypothetically, if I do, I think being able to have been myself all last summer, and one, it like landing well with everyone in the house, but two, if it lands well to the Bravo audience, I don't know what, like, what is there to like run from in that situation? Cause obviously there'll be drama, whatever. Now that I've known everyone for so much longer, it's a lot more, you feel a lot more comfortable to like insert yourself and like give opinions, cause you actually have relationships that have taken time with these people. But I had fun. I hope, like, that's what everyone's saying, like, we're making fun. Like, Jesse and I could go to that house by ourselves and like we'd have a fun, you know,
definitely.
3 days. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure things might get a little like stickier for me just because I like have known everyone longer and like will need to contribute my 2 cents to other people's problems and share my own problems more. But I'm like, I want to have fun at the end of the day. And that's like why I did it. I wanted to make friends. I feel like these are my friends now. Yeah. I hope they'd say the same thing. So, yeah, I'd be out on Long Island in a share house anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'll stick around.
The last question I have is what's the, for those of you that don't know, because we talked about it before we started recording, West is a bandwagon Kansas City Chiefs fan. So he jumped on the Patrick Mahomes train real quick.
You're sick, Ed.
So we need to have a bet. Because if the – I don't know. Has the schedule come out yet? Are we playing the Chiefs this year?
We're not playing the Chiefs. We don't play the AFC West.
Okay. So
we'll see them in Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Let's assume we make it to the Super Bowl against you, and we can revisit this as the season's playing out, because the Eagles just made all these like amazing moves, so we're definitely going back to the Super Bowl this year.
Or we'll miss
it. Are you guys Sirianni guys? He's a fucking dork to me. I don't know if you guys love him, but I don't – I wouldn't put my marbles
– Nah, he's a dork. He's a huge dork.
When he did that shit after the – when we beat the Chiefs.
And I was there.
Were you there? Were you on the field or were you in the stands?
No, I was at – I do one boys trip where we all fly home, do a game, whatever. That was our game of choice.
Oh, was that like pouring rain the entire time too?
It was misty, and like if I have a couple beers and it's like misting, I'm fine.
Okay. Yeah, it's not, you know, the beers aren't freezing like they were in that Dolphins playoff.
It mattered to MVS though, apparently.
Yeah, a little too slick for MVS.
He got whacked. They caught him.
Yeah,
smelled.
But he went out. He went out
before Tony.
Yeah, he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He's fine.
Yeah, after dropping 16 balls all season, whatever,
doesn't matter. But, yeah.
The point was, after Sirianni walked out of the tunnel and said, like, you like that, Chiefs fans, or whatever he said, that's when I was like, all right, that we don't need a head coach doing that. Like, I like the fact that he's a player's coach. I appreciate that. But I don't need him reacting like a player. I need him reacting like a coach. That bugged me. Now, on to the bet. Let's assume we make it to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
What's the terms? We need to come up with some solid terms here on a bet.
Well, Vegas would give me great odds because, like, no team's ever won three in a row, boys.
That's a good point.
So, a good point.
Here we are.
I will say, and I hate to give the Chiefs props, you have Patrick Mahomes, who is Patrick Mahomes. So, and you might actually have some receivers this year, so that will help as well. So, we might have to ponder on this one.
Why don't we just do some record? Why don't we do a head-to-head record, see who the better team is at the end of the year? Okay.
Do you know what divisions you have?
Yeah, we're playing, I think, the AFC North and I think the AFC South, probably. AFC North and AFC South, I think.
I think Chiefs might be AFC South.
I think we're playing in LA again. I think that's one of the away games. But yeah, I think that's kind of in that mix. I know we play the Bengals and the Steelers again this year, but
then we can just do we'll just do best record and then best record.
We'll throw some cheesesteaks or something in there. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I can send you I'll do a Casey like barbecue care package. They can freeze it and like overnight it.
Okay, and then we'll do that with jerseys, I guess, is the easy. We'll have to wear jerseys on a podcast.
Yeah, we'll have to wear Casey's jerseys on a podcast.
I fucking got it. Yours, you have to wear an Eagles jersey on an episode of Summer House.
Oh, wow. They'll blur it, though, because you can't show. Yeah,
can't do that.
Nah, damn it.
I have an old Alex Singleton jersey, though, because I went to.
You have an Alex Singleton jersey?
That's my
boy.
Oh, right. Duh. I'm an idiot. I loved Alex Singleton.
Why don't we just do this?
Every year.
We'll have you back. We'll have you back on at the end of the season. Whoever loses the bet has to wear the other team's jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll figure out the stakes.
Yeah, we'll figure out.
Like, they have to do it. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm down with that. But thank you so much for coming on. We were excited to have you because, like I said, it was like having one of the boys on. So this was awesome. We appreciate it.
Hell yeah. We'll stay in touch for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely. All right, boys. Man. Well, do you have anything to plug? Anything coming up? Anything you want to talk about?
Dude, not really. I don't know if you guys are complex sports guys, but tapping.
Yeah, I am. I follow him on Twitter.
I'm doing McDonald's All-American game. Not that stoked about it, but
yeah.
We'll get some baseball stuff going soon.
Hell yeah.
8 days.
Happy opening day. Soon.
Eight days.
South Korea opening day.
Oh, that's right.
Otani broke the roof this morning at 6:30 and no one watched because it was on at 6:30.
119 miles an hour off the bat through the roof.
Yep.
That's gross. They'll still lose in the DS. Yeah, whatever.
They'll lose in the DS to somebody. They'll lose to like the Cubs or some shit this year. It's going to be great. Yeah.
As long as we don't have the Diamondbacks in the World Series again, like, I'm cool. Anybody else? That was miserable. But anyway, thank you so much for coming out, Wes. We appreciate it. And this will be out on what's today? Wednesday? Thursday. So tomorrow.
Thursday.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
Show. All right, brother. Appreciate you.
Talk to you soon.
See you, man.
Fuck, do I do that?
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.